When I was a child, growing into my teenage years, my very blessed mother, Allah Yarhamha, always talked to me about being attractive. She was very careful about dress and appearance and hair and so forth. And it was only much later that I came to understand that attractive means that you attract like a magnet. And I began to observe what you attract. And there were certain rather key experiences I had that proved to me that wearing a scarf and loose clothing, which is what hijab is, was indeed protection, which is what hijab means. When I was first coming into Islam, I started playing around with a headscarf because I knew this was something that Muslim women did, and I didn't know why, and I didn't know what for. The only way I could find out was to experiment on myself. So I tied it back like this, and then I tied it back like this, and then I put it under like this. I tried different things. What finally convinced me was a particular experience. I was working in publishing then as now, and I had to go and visit a printer in a big printing house in Albuquerque, New Mexico. His office was in the middle of the floor, in a kind of glass box, and I was waiting for my appointment. There was another lady sitting with him, and I was watching idly, and I realized that to get whatever she wanted, she was flirting with the guy by shaking her head and twitching her shoulders and batting her eyes and doing all those things that people do. She was doing much more than just business. And I thought to myself very proudly, you know, I'm wearing a scarf, so I don't have this problem. I'm not going to do this. But when she left and I went in to see the man, I was in the middle of talking to him, and I realized that I was going like this, you know, that I was going through all the motions that I would be going through if my hair had been long and down as it always had been. And that all of that, my whole life, had been an unconscious response to talking to a male. At that point, I realized that for a Muslim who is striving to be conscious of Allah, that this sort of unconscious play acting has no place and is useless and is irrelevant, and that there are other ways to get what you want, and that for a woman to work in the world alongside men and other women, it's much more convenient to work as a human being rather than a sexual object. At that point, I started wearing a scarf, and I have never not worn it since. And I have found nothing but respect from wearing it. I have never had any problem at all. Maybe a few glances, but compared to the glances I would have gotten of a different sort if I weren't wearing a scarf, it's been nothing. I think that it has helped me to contain myself inside myself, which is one of the objects for both men and women in Islam, not to throw away their precious energies, their sexual energy, the energy that goes through the eye, through the sound, through the motion, but to conserve those for where they can do their best job, which is at home. And when you move in the world, to move between people as simply a human being, not a sexual object. I think that the way people dress now in most of the world, particularly in the Western world, is really denying our souls. It's denying the quality of love, tenderness, humanness, intelligence, all the things we value. It's putting those way aside and emphasizing the physical. And if you happen to be, you know, have possession of a perfect body, you know, for a few years, you may enjoy this, but for the great majority of human beings, it is simply setting them a goal that is unreachable, number one, and number two, the goal itself is self-defeating because it concentrates completely on the physical and doesn't allow the inner beauty of a person to show through. There's another thing about understanding hijab and Islamic culture in general. If you go to an old Muslim city and you walk around, you find several things. One is that you find the roads are very narrow and the walls around yards are very high. You can't see over them. But the yards themselves may be very spacious. And all you get from walking through these narrow streets, which you never go whoosh, they always bend and turn and go around, so you have to take your time. When you walk through these streets, you have a feeling that behind all of these walls there are great mysteries taking place, there are great loves taking place, there are great lives taking place, but you don't know what they are. So there's a mysterious and enticing quality about it. You may have a smell of jasmine or see some beautiful vine coming down the outside of the wall or see some little lattice window with a face behind it. This is the stuff of dreams, you know. And this is the way a Muslim woman is when she is covered. It's like a walled garden, right? It's like the way we want our houses to be. We don't favor picture windows and big front lawns. We favor a wall, and inside of that all kinds of private life can take place of every kind of nature. But it isn't for everyone on earth to see. We're not interested in showing off. We're interested in being, in praising Allah, in loving one another, and in going about our business as human beings.